Back to Chris.
This is the other side of the glass.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, let's see if our next guest is as sick of this topic as I am. I have a feeling he is because I've talked to him about it quite a few times. Chris Thomas Turtle with you till 5. Make sure you hit me up on Twitter at C Thomas Radio, YouTube at C Thomas Radio as well. Got a Twitter live space is going right now. You can interact with the show. And then starting next week, I'll have a YouTube stream up as well as we advance the show into the 21st century. But right now we got to chat on the regular old phone lines on the WadeFord.com hotline, matter of fact, with our good buddy Joe Patrick. Joe, have you been to a Chipotle lately?
I actually have not been to Chipotle lately, although I did. There was one point in my life where I went to Chipotle very frequently. It's a good spot, but no, I have not been recently. There is a really good one I hear, though, in and around Westlake, Ohio, apparently.
Okay, so make this make sense to me. Talk to me like I'm 5, as the kids like to say. Why would there be reports about this not being football related? On what planet does that make sense, Joe?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly. And I don't, like, I haven't paid extreme detail. I haven't, like, hunted the rabbit hole all the way down on Twitter yet, but I did see, you know, that. So anyway, I'm familiar with the backstory. I don't know you talked about it, but obviously Kirk Cousins pictured at a Chipotle in the Westlake, Ohio area. And it was posted by some fan or whatever, or the people that he was with. I think the interesting part of the story is that he replies to that tweet saying, you know, gotta have the chicken, double chicken salad or whatever. But just the fact that he would seek out the tweet and reply to it and make that kind of public confirmed the fact that he was there. And Mike McCartney, his agent, then later kind of tweets out, I believe it was Ian Rappaport maybe retweeted it or commented on it. And then Mike McCartney kind of says, oh my gosh, who would have thought that one picture gets the whole world turned crazy? But otherwise, I don't see why that all would have happened. Because if you look at, you know, Kirk Cousins' Twitter account, he really is pretty judicious with kind of what he puts out there. And it just, because I retweeted it. I retweeted Kirk thinking that that would be what he wanted. And, you know, according to his agent, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was unrelated. But I'm having a hard time believing that.
Okay. So do you believe there's a scenario before 26 days from now or on the 26th day that Kirk waives his no trade clause and becomes a Cleveland Brown?
I still don't think so. I think that it is going to benefit the Falcons more to trade Kirk Cousins after June 1st. But having those concerns aside, I would also say I really think that Kirk Cousins, you know, he has said he wants to make sure that he doesn't get penixed, for lack of a better term, and that he goes to one of these teams and then they go ahead and draft his successor. I think that's a lot for him to ask for, considering his age. You know, you like, how many years can he even give a franchise? Can he reliably give a franchise at this point? That's a whole nother kind of topic. I just, you know, when it comes to like a trade, it just does not make sense for me to happen before the June 1st date. And then with Kirk, he's going to want to make sure, and he can kind of hold these teams at gunpoint, saying like, listen, if you draft a quarterback, if you draft Shador Sanders in the first round, you know, you can count me out. But there's also a risk on his part. He needs to move. He knows that he has to get out of here. I think the Falcons know that too. And that's one of the reasons why they're able to kind of keep their cards close to their chest and just kind of let things play out. Because I think that actually there is going to be leverage that is in their favor, which is ultimately going to be Cousins kind of understanding that he has to facilitate this happening and has to be proactive about the situation.
Okay, so as I said, as we're talking to our buddy Joe Patrick, 92.9 Falcons reporter, Chris Thomas hanging out with you till 5. Check out my Twitter spaces at C Thomas Radio and give me a subscribe on YouTube at C Thomas Radio as well. All right. The draft is like less than a month away, as I said. The most likely scenario for the Falcons at number 15, as you stand right now, is what?
Well, it's an edge. You know, I can It's the best move for this team. Like, it's the best move for this defense is obviously to add a premium edge defender. And I think the better question, the more interesting question is, like, who it will be. And it's a tough one to talk about because we just don't obviously know because of the draft who's going to be there. I think for me, the most exciting player that this Falcons team could get that would – exciting in terms of an expectation that he would add real juice to the pass rush, like that true, like third down, get after it pass rush, is Mike Green. I think that he's just the most talented, the most dynamic rusher, has the college production as well as the testing numbers that are exquisite. And he has specific testing numbers like his three cone that would suggest that it's like elite up there with other guys who have come into the league and been really productive. So for me, he's number one. The question I have with Mike Green, Chris, is just the physical profile of him. He's a little bit lighter. He plays, you know, in the 250s, and that's very similar to Arnold Ebikadi. And so, if that's the case, can you get those players on the field at the same time and feel comfortable about it? You probably can in some of those, you know, big time third down passing situations. But what about like on first and second down, second seven? You know, are you putting 250 pound outside linebackers out there? I think that's the big question for how Raheem Morris, Terry Fontenot want to build this defense. And if they do want to go bigger, you know, they could potentially go with a Shamar Stewart if he's there. They could trade down potentially because it feels like Michael Williams' stock is kind of – nobody seems like super enthused by him, and I think that he's physically a great fit. But having said all that, again, to go back to Mike Green, it's going to be really hard to pass up on that caliber of pass rusher if he's still available for the Falcons. And honestly, sorry, I'm kind of vamping about this, Chris, but I've seen some mock drafts lately that have these guys, both Mike Green and Shamar Stewart, falling to the Falcons, and like two tight ends going in the top 10. Nothing against these tight ends, but I would kind of be surprised if the draft ultimately goes the way a lot of these mock drafts that are getting publicized going, because I see these edges as being some of the best players in this class overall, and it's such a position of value. It's one where a GM can never be faulted for going after a Mike Green and with a top 10 pick, even if he does have needs elsewhere.
Okay, so my next question is, who starts at nickel?
Well, that could be another draft pick, to be perfectly honest. I think there's a question of, is the nickel even on the team right now? Is the starting nickel on the team? And I kind of don't think he is, just when I'm thinking about this group off the top of my head. And there's going to be opportunities for, you know, the Falcons to draft that caliber of player. I think that there are some interesting options for them. And it's the one thing I was going to say when we talk about that 15th pick. It's edge. We all get it. If there is one player that – if there's one player that would make me go away from the edge position, it would be Jahdae Barron, because he has extremely clean tape, just projects to be, you know, extremely effective as a defensive back, as a corner in his first year. And he has a good experience playing the slot and has, you know, great reps there, could really fill in to that position. That was a huge, you know, weak spot for the Falcons last year. And, you know, D. Alford and Jimmy Lake's scheme last year, the nickelback was the most – D. Alford was the most targeted defensive back in the NFL on a down-to-down basis. So it's, I know it's not Jimmy Lake again, but that just goes to show how important that position is. It's a starting defender in the NFL, and the Falcons are going to have to make sure that they devote, you know, the resources necessary for it.
Does the kicker signing this week, Mr. Lenny Krieg from – Stuttgart, Germany, does that spell the end of Younghoe Koo's time?
I think it's leaning that way. Yeah, when you look at the contract, and it sounds like they were needing to compete against other teams and needed to kind of go up to the 3 years to give them that deal. But, you know, that would signal to me, you know, it's going to be hard to justify keeping a player like Younghoe on the roster for too much longer. You know, there's not really a need for them to get rid of him immediately, although – I think that could very well be on the cards here, you know, in the foreseeable future. But I also think that it gives the Falcons, you know, the Falcons may say, you know, we owe it to him to allow him to kind of compete against these guys. So let's wait till they get into their best condition. Younghoe obviously was dealing with some injuries last year, and just, you know, really see who the best one is. And maybe it is Younghoe Koo, you know, like he's going up against an untested, as far as, you know, NFL experience and the pressure that goes with a kicker. So I don't think it's necessarily a shoo-in, but ultimately it does seem to me like This guy Lenny Craig is the more talented leg, just based on the fact that so many teams were eager to bring him in, and the Falcons ultimately gave him the deal that they did.
Okay, before I let you go, I'm going to ask a question, and you can just expound however you see fit. How many more matches of they're close do we get for Atlanta United?
I actually think zero. I actually think tonight they're going to bust out. I've been really kind of digging through some of the tape, and it is not as bad as I was expecting, and it really does seem to be just really some moments here and there that you know this team has failed to capitalize on. And I think also there was definitely a fitness issue. We'll see how that goes. It's worth just generally noting to yourself as you're watching this game to keep tabs on like how energetic the players look at certain points of the game as it wears on. So that's something that Ronnie Dyla kind of highlighted when I asked him about it this week. But the talent, this team is not short for talent. The tactics are fine. They're good enough. I could recommend some tweaks I might make, but I have no doubt that this team is just, you know, they are on the precipice of breaking out, and this is when they need to do it, when they've got three home games coming up, and it starts tonight.
All right, I'm going to throw in a little bonus question here. How concerned are you about the Braves pitching?
Yeah, it's, the bullpen. I'm not concerned at all, really, about the starting staff. I know there's been kind of, you know, obviously a lot of talk about that over the course of the offseason. It's this bullpen, you know, and it's just frustrating, obviously, to see how they've opened. But ultimately, I don't really think, while obviously Neris got dinged up in that first game, it's really been the hitting. You know, it's been this hitting with runners in scoring position. They just haven't done it at all, basically. I think they have one for 16 or something in the first two games.
One for 16, yep.
Yeah, I think they'll make their pitching look a lot better if they can improve that number. But ultimately, I think this bullpen is just something they're going to have to deal with until ultimately Alex Anthopoulos will bolster it sometime midseason.
All right, Joe. Appreciate it as always. We'll check in next week, my friend.
All right. Thanks, Chris.